I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We turn to our good friend, Jason Lockhamfort from CBS Sports, and he is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Jason, how are you today?
What's going on, guys? I just want to warn you, we've got bad thunderstorms going on.
Okay.
And it freaks my dog freaks out every time it thunders. So there's really no way to get away from in this house, so if he goes bonkers, that's why.
It's okay. You just say the dog bonks.
I would normally take the phone outside if he was freaking out, but I'm not going to get soaked.
No, yeah. And you don't want to get electrocuted.
And we're used to dog barking. Yeah. We're in Cleveland.
Yeah, you just say you got the dog pond behind you.
Yeah.
All right, let's start with issue number one. Josh Gordon, what are your thoughts on the trade to England?
Look, the most stunning thing to me, and we've talked about it ad nauseum over the years, is that this guy was still on the Cleveland Browns roster in 2016, much less 2017, let alone the offseason of 2018. Much less week two of the 2018 season. I mean, it's mind-boggling that they didn't cut the cord sooner. They had opportunities to trade him for far more than this in the past. They could have walked away from him at any point, and it really is staggering that he lasted this long. Saying all that under the circumstances, you're not going to get much for him. You know, and obviously once the Browns, who have stood by him in a way that I don't know that any franchise would stand behind most any player, much less one who hasn't been productive in 5 years and has what? He's played 11 games, I think, since 2013.
That is correct. 11 of 66 possible games.
It is what it is. But something's better than nothing, and I do believe this is addition by subtraction. And at some point, you got to get out from under the drama and the trust issues, and is he setting an example for the young guys or isn't he? And we've got a quarterback of the future who had, his run-in in college, and we got a wide receiver of the future who had more than one run-in in college. And at some point, this can't just be an organization that talks it. We got to walk it, and it has to be deeds, not just words. And there has to be consequences, not just this is your 563rd chance to prove us wrong. So I get it. I get it. It's just, it's obviously the quintessential Belichick move. I mean, everybody knew that they were interested, and for them to actually get him, is just sort of how the league works, I guess. But, I can't vouch for this guy's availability anywhere, I don't care if he got traded to the 66 Packers and Vince Lombardi at the height of his prowess. I don't know that he's, I don't know that he's not getting hurt or getting in trouble or whatever. Obviously the story of his career. But maybe he does turn it around, and maybe that environment does bring out the best in him, and maybe he does realize what it truly means to walk the line and what's expected of you if you're going to play in this league, even if you have the superior talent he has. Although, again, it only manifests itself about once every 18 months.
That's absolutely on the money. That's on the money. So if you're the Browns then, and you go and you bring in Rod Streeter, and you brought in a warm body.
Yeah.
Are you pursuing Dez Bryant? Are you just?
I'm not. Okay. I'm not. Doesn't mean they won't. I wouldn't have had him in my building the first time, but they did. It certainly doesn't mean you up your offer to Dez. It doesn't mean you bid against yourself. And with each week that he's been away, further away from football at his age, and given some of the signs of already slowing down, if I don't think I'm winning games in January and that, okay, it's going to take him a while to get going, and find his way. And then once he does, maybe we'll have a few big plays for us in the second half and, shoot, maybe there's one play in January that puts us over the top. That's not this team, and I don't think he wants to be. He clearly has his mindset on playing with a certain caliber of quarterback, and I don't know that those opportunities are ever going to emerge for him. I would think that what just happened with this trade would further crystallize how far down team's emergency list Dez Bryant is. You know what I mean? We'd rather trade a pick and take a shot on Josh Gordon than give Dez $4 or $5 million. He's not getting this 6, 7, 8, whatever he thinks is. That's never, that's gone. I mean, he had that with the Ravens. He should have taken it. It's not coming back, even on a prorated basis. But I just honestly, the market has spoken about him.
Yeah, and
I
mean, Jason, it's interesting.
It's like Adrian Peterson last year and Adrian Peterson this year.
Yeah.
Like, they're not saving anybody's season. Like, it's like, you know, teams taking a flyer trading for Jared Allen, you know what I mean, at the end of history. Like, if you think you're going somewhere and this guy might make 3 or 4 plays for you, James Harrison, you know what I mean? You know, Belichick taking a flyer on him. Like, if you're that kind of team and 3 third-down plays could be the difference between going to the Super Bowl and not through the course of the month of January, then I get it. I just don't get bringing him back into the Browns building. It wouldn't make sense to me.
And, Jason, it's interesting because, what, a week or so ago, Dez tweeted about with Edelman and Gronk, and I'd be one-on-one, and Washington would be okay too. Well, the Patriots trade for Josh Gordon, and Washington goes out and signs Breshad Perriman
because
and Michael Floyd.
Young, if you're, yeah, they want young and cheap, not old, slow, and too much dough. Like, that's just the reality. And Perriman can't even play special teams. At least he couldn't in Baltimore. So it's not even like you're getting that value on, but it's just like, well, he has one thing. He has speed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With Dez, he's got experience. He's got moxie. He can box people out. But there isn't one metric that's going to jump off the page. Perriman can't catch. He can only run about 2 routes. But he has truly elite speed. So for the young vet minimum, whatever he's going to cost, a prorated $700,000, I get that more than I get – you know, going to war with Dez, bringing him in for less money ultimately than he thinks he's worth, having him, you know, already kind of ticked off about it, and then finding out in week 5 if he can actually play or not.
Jace, how hot does Hugh Jackson's seat get if they can't beat the Jets on Thursday night and you start the season 0-2-1?
The Jets aren't a joke.
I'm not questioning the Jets. I'm more talking about just you and the Heat, and or is he good for the season?
Oh, I don't know how you could say he's good for the season. I don't even by Haslam sort of, you know, logic. I don't know how anyone could say he's safe for the season. There's 2 former head coaches on the staff, at least 2. So no, I wouldn't say that. Yeah, I mean, look, each week, the longer it goes, at a certain point, you got to try whatever you have to try to win a football game. And God knows they've been closer than ever, but close isn't enough. We'll see if the kicking improves, you know. They've obviously improved in some ways. I don't think Tyrod's played his best football yet either. But, yeah, I mean, look, you get out of the first – to me, you get out of the first quarter of the season and you still haven't won a game – I think that's when you have to really start contemplating, like, okay, how much longer can we let this go? And we don't want to have Baker come in with this hanging over his head. You know what I mean? Like, but we're also not going to let, you know, if Tyrod doesn't get better, we're not giving Tyrod 10 games just to give Tyrod 10 games either. So, you know, I'd say in the next 2 weeks you'd have to start having those conversations at the highest level of the organization and say, you know, when is enough enough?
Jason Lockenfora joining us, NFL insider for CBS Sports. Jason, over the last 2 years, I believe the number now is 8, where the Browns have had 8 games decided by 6 points or fewer. It's not all talent, I wouldn't think. Why can't an NFL team put away a team when they might have a lead or be in a game? Why is it that they can't pull that out?
I think, look, a lot of it was last year, and they played a quarterback who wasn't ready to play. And I don't put it on that kid, I put it on Q. And that's what that was, and then you kept running it out there, and it wasn't really going to get better on the fly. And that was a kid who had to sit. He needed to sit for a season and learn, right? But they got cheap with McCown. They didn't want to pay him. You know, they figured they'd find their answer in the draft or whatever, and maybe you're still hoping Kessler's a player. I mean, I don't know. You couldn't reconcoct that script in a million years. All the varied decision making and the different people in the building and Dee Podesta and Sashi and all that, you couldn't re-put that together if you tried. But I think all of that has a lot to do with how the Browns played, especially in 2017 in close and late situations. Go look at DeShone Kizer in the fourth quarter. Go look at DeShone Kizer in the red zone in the fourth quarter. Go look at DeShone Kizer close and late. Go look at them having him throw the ball as much as they did in those situations where just run the ball inside the red zone and take the 3 points. We could go on and on. So I put that on for how they manage that for how they manage that situation overall, and then just use decision making in close and late. This year, I mean. And there's been kickers in the past, right? They've lost games because of field goals in the past.
Yep.
And, you know, that's an organizational thing. They went into the year with this kid, and clearly it didn't work, and it had a major role in both losses. So, I think, special teams and what does your quarterback do in close and late situations will dictate a lot of those. I think the next worst team is Houston. Houston's now, I think, 1-6 or 1-7 in their last 8 games decided by a score or less, and they've played, I think their last 6 games have been decided that way. And, you know, they were running different quarterbacks up there last year, and they've gone through their share of kickers from time to time. And they lost last week because Tennessee completed like a 65-yard fake punt on them. You know, so that's, I mean, it's stuff like that.
Jace, Browns defense, despite injuries last week, looking legit. Do you believe that? I mean, do you believe the Browns defense is legit?
I mean, that's the reason why you could say they came, you know, an inch here or whatever, 10 feet. I don't know, it's hard to judge how far some of these, you know, some of these balls missed the goalpost by when they're kicking. But whatever, a few feet here, a few feet there from having knocked off a team who a lot of people, myself included, thought would be in the AFC Championship, and equally as close from knocking off a team that myself and many others 3 weeks ago would have told you has a really good shot to play in the NFC Championship. It's not because Tyrod's lighting the world on fire. It's not because Josh Gordon was walking the line and being dominant again, right? It's not because they're mauling people at the point of attack in the run game. It's because of the defense. And the turnovers they've created, the short fields they've provided, and just the impact, their ability to suffocate truly elite offenses and truly elite quarterbacks for quarters at a time. So that's the biggest strength of the team right now. Ward has been better than I thought he'd be from the giddy up, and he looks like he's dominant, and we know what they can do with the pass rush. Garrett's only going to get better. They've sunk a lot of money into linebacking core, and it's paying dividends. So there's a lot to like there.
Jace, thank you very much. I'll say it for you. You do not hate the Cleveland Browns, and we appreciate your time.
I know. Talk to you guys soon. Well, we made it through it without the dog going crazy. Good stuff.
Yeah,
good
job.
All right.
Thanks, Jace.
Thank the dogs for us, too.
Yeah,
appreciate
I will.
It.
Thanks.
All right. Jace Lockenfor from CBS Sports joins us every week on Tuesday at 11 o'clock. And, of course, he was on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.